Accession number 18669, real one.
Don Summerfield, real one. Where were you born, please?
Guildford.
Which year was this?
1933.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Guildford?
Yes.
So you were a schoolboy in Guildford in the Second World War?
Yes, yeah. I was, yeah. Of course I was, yeah.
What was it like in Guildford in the Second World War?
Well, we had the... we had some bombs around, and we had the doodle bugs dropping all around here too. I mean, it wasn't so bad as London, but we had a few bombs.
What was your address in Guildford at the time?
144 Painter's Close.
Which part of Guildford that is?
That was Stoke.
And did any bombs fall near where you were?
Yes, yeah. Several around the field. So I was lucky because they went in the field, you know.
Were any buildings hit near you?
I think the doodle bug caught. They weren't very far away. It was only about a mile away that they caught one building. That was in Recreation Road. But I don't think there was any casualties.
Were there many doodle bugs that hit Guildford?
Several, yeah. Around, you know.
Do you think they were aiming at Guildford or
London? I don't think so. London, I think so. I think they just sort of didn't make it, you know, to London.
Was your life as a schoolboy much affected by the war?
Oh, yeah, we had... We had quite a lot of air raid warnings.
Was your schooling much affected?
I don't think it was, really. Not too bad.
Was there ever any question of you being evacuated from the town?
No. No.
So how old were you when you left school?
15.
In 1948?
It must be, yeah.
Did you get a job on leaving school?
Yes, yes.
Doing what?
I was a butcher boy.
So how did you come to be in the army?
A national service.
Can you tell me when and how you were called up, please?
I was called up I went in the army in 1952, February 1952.
How did you feel about being called up?
Well, everybody had to do the national service, so I just took it as it came.
Were you looking forward to it?
Yes, I was in a way, yes.
Where did you go to start off with?
The Queen's Stoughton Barracks.
This is in Guildford itself?
Yes.
And did you do your basic training?
Yeah, I done 6 weeks. 6 weeks basic training, Stoughton.
What was that like?
Very hard. Very hard indeed. Very disciplined. Very hard.
You mean physically demanding?
Yes. Yes.
Were there any of the conscripts that couldn't cope with it?
Yeah, there's a few.
Were you asked to do anything that you couldn't cope with yourself?
No, I think I just about managed, I wasn't an expert at things, but it gradually built up as I learnt more, you know.
How did the people in charge treat you and the other recruits?
Not very kindly, but of course it was our job, and very disciplined up there it was.
Was there any bullying?
No bullying, but very hard discipline.
Or swearing at you?
No, I don't think, I can't remember being sworn at. Shouted at, but not sworn at.
Did Did you learn much from the basic training?
Yes. Well, I done 6 weeks up there, and I went advanced training. I learned quite a bit to advanced training. Could you want to know that?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Advanced training to Canterbury, which I learned more at Canterbury. You know, we had 12 weeks basic there. 12 weeks advanced training at Canterbury.
What extra things did you learn in advanced training?
What would you say? More. More weaponry training, and more. What would you talk about?
Field training.
Field, yes, yeah, field training. More, lots more of that down there.
And did you then go into a regiment?
I went from the Queen's to the Fusiliers in Canterbury.
So which battalion of the Royal Fusiliers?
1st Battalion.
Were you told much about the background of the regiment?
Not quite, no, because, you know, we never went straight to the battalion.
What happened to you after Canterbury?
We went abroad to Hong Kong.
Any special preparations you had to make?
Yeah, very, very hard training in Hong Kong. We was attached to the Middlesex Regiment in Hong Kong, in the New Territories.
What were you doing there?
More hard training, field training and hill climbing, etc.
What did soldiers do in their spare time in Hong Kong?
Not much. Didn't have much spare time, actually. The only spare time you had was an odd few hours at weekend, which you visited the local village or town, what you call it. But the only chance we got to was the last weekend when we moved on to Japan.
So you were training with the Middlesex Regiment?
We're attached to them, but they trained us. We never trained with them, but they trained us.
Did they tell you anything about Korea?
No, not much. But I think it was in the training, if you understand what I mean. I think that we had a lot of hill climbing and things like that, which afterwards I realised that when we got to Korea that it was all hills.
So you went from Hong Kong to Japan?
Yes, Curie.
Were you in?
Sorry.
Were you in a company and platoon by now?
No. We went to Curie to be posted to Korea. We stopped at Curie for 2 weeks, and then we were flown over. I'm not quite sure. To Busan, and then we stopped at Busan for a small time because we done guards, and then we was rushed up to the front line from Busan after a few weeks in Busan. I'm not quite sure. It was a short stay, and then we was rushed up to the. We went straight up to the join the battalion in the front line.
What impression did Korea make on you at first?
It was hard to say, really. It's it was a bit upside down at the time, because I think they'd had a bit of a bashing before, you know, we got there. And of course, once we got up in the front line, you didn't see much of Korea itself, just hills and paddy fields.
And what happened to you once you got into the front line?
Well, we you know, just carried on our duties.
And it was then that you went into a platoon?
Yeah, we joined the D Comp, 12 Platoon D Company we joined.
And?
Sorry. So the Fusiliers, they were in the line at the time, and apparently what we could learn is that we took over after they've just had a small bit of a battle, you know, and lost a few casualties. So we presumed that we had to take their place. That's how we joined the battalion.
What did the front line look like?
Oh, a bit rough. It was what it consists of. You was on a hill. You was on hills, most of the fighting was done at the night time. So what it consisted of at the daytime is if you could get some sleep, you slept. But it was all your side of the hill was all bunkers and foxholes and trenches, and you didn't see the other side of the hill till the night time because you couldn't go out in the daytime over there, you know, in the front, if you know what I mean. You had to keep your side of the hill, and it all consisted of bunkers and trenches and foxholes and things.
What season did you arrive in?
We arrived, it must have been about Octoberish, so that was the beginning of winter.
Obviously this is October 52.
52. It was very, very cold.
Already?
It started to get cold, yeah. Didn't take long, you know, many days, weeks for it to get very cold.
What kind of clothing did you have against the cold?
Oh, fleece lining, parkas, all fleece lining, trousers, fleece lining, long johns, pants, and that, things like that. You wore about two or three pairs of trousers if you can get them on. Just to keep warm.
All this was provided by the army?
Yes.
Did you wear any extra clothing of your own personally belonging to?
No, just army clothing.
Could you have fires?
No. No fires. No. I can't remember what the light. Well, I don't think we had any lighting in the bunkers. Or candle, I can't remember. I cannot remember what lightning. Not on the front line. What, I don't think we had any lights at all. Only torches, I suspect, in the bunkers.
Well,
other than that, I can't remember any lights at all.
Were the bunkers wet?
Well, it all depends, because what was happening when we arrived, they was building new bunkers, and you built your own bunker. So if three or four of you was in a bunker, you mainly build it yourself. If it was and it was up to you to make it as best as you can. You know, you had the timber across the top and whatever, and you made it the best you can and the driest you can. But I mean, I don't think there was any that was perfect, but
what was wrong with the old bunkers then?
Well, they either was damaged, or they weren't good enough, or they wanted more, or you wanted more bunkers, you know, for more men. So, as far as I mean, a lot of this, you know, I've got this. I got to remember, and I might be wrong on some things, but that was, as far as I can remember, you know, about the bunkers. I mean, some got showered and mortared and whatever, and damaged, and was too weak to use, so you had to build more, you know, safer ones or...
And so when you first arrived, you were doing a lot of digging?
Yes. Yes. Hell of a lot. Yeah, it was all digging most of the time, actually. It's always something to do, you know, if you, to protect yourself. I mean, you know, the more you, if you, you can understand what I'm saying, if there was a chance of you doing an extra bunker or digging an extra trench, you dug it because it was for your advantage, for your safety. It was something you could get into, you know, if you was being shelled a lot and mortared, you know, it protects you. Especially over daytime. Because you only had that in the trenches.
So what tools did you have to...
Well, it's small spades, that's all we had, and picks. That's all we had. You know, little shovels. Small shovels.
Was the ground easy to dig?
Well, some was and some wasn't. It all depends, you know, of your luck. If you struck a bad patch, you had to fill it in and find somewhere else, sort of thing. But you was detailed to dig at certain spots by your commanders, and if you struck like water or it just you had to fill it in again and decide where else you could do one. But I think it was a luck, your luck. But most deals you find was dry. It was at the bottoms that where you got the water. If you was on a big hill, like 355, which was massive, you know, it was, of course, you had it was plenty of room. You had plenty of room, and it was dry because. It was so big that the water just run down when you had rain. The slopes.
How comfortable could you be in these bunkers?
Not very comfortable. I mean, you had sleeping bags, you know, you had all your clothes on and everything. You just had to make the best of it.
How many men would go in one bunker?
Oh, the most, three or four. You can. We did make beds if they was big enough. We used to make bunk beds out of steels. I can't remember where we got the steel from. And oh yes, we did. What they put the barbed wire on, and cable, wireless cable. We used to make. Beds, bunk beds, so that you know we could have room for enough for, say, four in a bunker. One up, down and up one side, and down and up the other side.
Just in pairs.
In four, with four soldiers, two one side, two the other.
Would you have mattresses?
No mattresses. No. We made them. We just put the sleeping bags on top and laid on them. And as I say, we made the well, I don't know what you'd call it, springs or whatever, with wire cable, wireless cable.
But they only gave you blankets.
I can't remember if we had blankets. I'm sorry. We might have had blankets. If we did, we didn't have many blankets. Could have had a blanket each, but I think I can't remember having too many blankets, because I think that's the sleeping bag was meant for you to get into. That was it.
Could you be warm in the bunker?
Them sleeping bags was quite warm. I mean, you had all your clothes on as well, but you had to rough it a bit. You did have to rough it a bit.
But you took your boots off?
Not always, no. I don't think I did. I can't remember. No, I don't think I did. No, not very often. I would not when I was sleeping, because in case you was, you know, was aroused quick. But I took them off for a little while while I was awake, like to stretch my feet. But I don't think I took them off when we went off to sleep because of the you know, standby sort of thing. You didn't know when you was going to be
where you
called upon.
Where you ordered not to take your boots off.
I can't remember. Sorry. We used to. I know we used to wear. Bulletproof vests. I hardly ever took that off. In the front line, I'm talking about. You know. Now, I know that because we was quite often being showered and things like that. And I always keep mine on for protection.
Could you sleep properly?
Not really. I didn't used to sleep a lot and day or night myself. I was always on, probably volunteering for out on the outpost or going out, you know, on the outpost in the daytime. I don't know. I just couldn't sleep a lot. Then I don't know why.
So did you get weary?
Not very much. It's hard to say because it's a long time ago, but I can't remember getting too weary. It's just that I knew I had to keep awake and I kept awake. And that was it.
Well, you fed properly?
Oh, we used to have, yeah, I think we, food, because I don't know about the other boys, but I didn't worry what I ate. I was so hungry that anything what that come up that I ate, and that was it. And we had a lot of American food, tin food and that, which you could warm up by, that was by lighting a tin underneath. I don't know what they called it, but it used to warm the, like soup and things like that, and meat, it used to warm it up, which was good. And then you could eat it out the tin. We had a lot of that in the front line. And some of the places, because you was in the front line for 6 weeks, and then you had to come out for a rest. And then you'd move up to the front line again in another position. And of course, some of the positions was not so, what shall I put it, dangerous as others. And of course, we could have, we had cooks up there cooking us food, just behind the line, if you understand, and we could go and get some what we called fresh food. But that wasn't very often. But we did have some positions where we could do that. We could they could cook us food, you know, up in the line. But it wasn't so dangerous. But in the dangerous parts, we had to have whatever we got hold of.
What did they give you to drink?
We had cans of water brought up. The Koreans brought water and things in the night time. They used to bring. I think they were the ones that brought the food up. The Koreans. They had a name for them. They had a name. They used to call them. And like packers, they used to bring all the food up at night time, and things and water for us. So we had plenty of that.
Couldn't you get hot drinks?
No, we never had hot drinks. I can't remember having hot drinks only these tins. What was supplied by the Americans? It was a tin that you set light to underneath, and it used to heat the drink up for you if you could get hold of them. It was quite handy. We used to have a lot of them when we went on patrol or anything like that.
So what about cigarettes or alcohol?
Plenty of cigarettes. No alcohol. Well, not up the line. In rest, you could get alcohol. And there was plenty of cigarettes brought up in the line. But as far as I can remember, I don't know how they was issued out. I don't know. I can't remember that. I think they was issued out by the sergeant. But I know that cigarettes was available, but I can't remember drink being available. You could get drink when you went back in rest, but not, you know, you could buy that from the NAFI, but you couldn't. It wasn't up the front line. I believe some, you know, armies or whatever you call, would you call them? Regiments would have drink, but that's only by ESA. But we couldn't get any drink.
And what type of action was the enemy taking against you at first?
Well, it was a tit for tat war. When we was up there, you dibbed at them, and they dibbed at you. It was patrols after patrol, fighting patrols, ambush patrols, recce patrols, and they had the same. They were doing the same. If you was lucky, you'd go out and meet, bump the enemy. And then another time you would miss each other, and or they weren't about and you wasn't about, sort of thing. But in no man's land, and that's what it was. That's what sort of war it was. It was a tit for tat. But you know, it was quite tough at times.
Did you go out on all three kinds of patrol?
Yes. I went out quite a few. Fighting patrol, ambush patrol, patrols, and recce patrols, standing patrols, and they were patrols where you know, in front of your position, a standing patrol, which you could bump the enemy if they come up on a fight patrol, and occasionally you got the full whack of the attack. You know, occasionally they'd have a big attack on you, and if you was the, you might be in the unluckiest battalion or regiment in the line at the time.
Were you ever in one of their big attacks?
Not a big one, no. Plenty of patrols. We counterattacked on a couple of occasions when a British regiment was overrun on the Hook, and I think it was a Canadian regiment. We attacked on. I think, yeah, it was. Yeah.
What happened on that occasion?
Well, the first occasion, when it was a British regiment, they got overrun, and